This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
It's a beautiful morning. We got a new act. It's phenomenal. It's sensational. It's terrific. It's even mediocre.
No, it's disgusting. It's a ploy.
What a ass.
You have a pretty fun show. I listen to it most of the time, you know. Keep up the good work.
God, I love you. Get the hell off the stage.
Nice work, everyone. Sharp broadcast. Really good.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
Good morning.
Well, good morning to everyone.
Top of the morning to you. Rise and shine. And shake a leg.
Good morning
up and at
to you.
That's right.
Listening to your radio right now.
Yes. 608-879-8255 is our number. You can call us or text us there, 879-TALK, or get on the Civic Media app and text us that way.
Big stories, you know, everything is just happening all at once. The fire hose of everything happening all at once is taking place again.
We got a text from Doug. You know, we were talking about daylight saving time.
Yep.
He says, does the government store saved daylight underground to use later?
I think so.
I think that's how it works.
That's what I heard.
Yeah,
I
ponder that. Yeah.
It's the magic of solar panels, right?
Exactly. Right.
Hey, there you go. That's
you
it.
You got it.
Now, the odds makers are out there, and 3 weeks ago, they thought Pete Hegseth would be voted in.
What are they thinking now?
Defense Secretary. Well, that was 83%. Now, it's at 12%. So he's on his way out.
Because it's been revealed he likes to get snot slinging drunk and go out and...
Well, he's got the greasy hair look, which never helps.
That's not a good look.
No.
No, it's not.
Yeah. Even if you weren't drinking, the greasy hair look makes it look like you've been drinking for a long time.
Strip clubs and jump up on stage and stuff. It's just frowned upon.
So they're looking at Senator Joni Ernst, which would be great, taking somebody out of the Senate.
Yeah.
And then DeSantis.
Yeah, Ron DeSantis.
I don't know what background. Yeah, I know he's been in the military, but
he was in the Navy.
Yeah,
he was Navy a judge SEAL, advocate. I don't know if he was Navy SEAL. I don't think
they're all Navy SEALs, aren't they?
He got a bronze. He got a bunch of medals.
Yeah,
actually.
I know.
Served.
He's brutal, Iraq. Ruthless.
Yeah, I think he was at Guantanamo for a while too.
Yeah, that's right. Yep, tortured prisoners. But you don't know.
You don't know.
This thing has fallen apart for Hegseth.
Apparently.
And well, it should. It's hard to imagine that anything could fall apart with Trump now voted as our president. But,
well, and Hegseth, you know, a lot of his Fox cronies that worked with him say he had, you know, he showed up to work liquored up and had, you know, liquor on his breath. And, you know, I know what it's like to work weekends in television. It's not fun. And, you know,
you're
on Fox.
Like that too, Gordy.
No, I'm not saying that.
Wow. Kept a flask in your boot, right?
I worked with people that worked on weekends, and especially the anchors, the news anchors. It's a sad life.
I wondered why you left left Indiana so quickly.
No. And it was not. I never had that problem, but I worked with people on weekends, and they liked to party. Those were the old days.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's
the new days
lot.
Are different.
Yeah, it doesn't happen anymore.
And by the way, this thing is starting to take off.
Which thing?
Ramaswamy.
Oh no, what's he up to?
They've discovered him saying bad things about Elon.
Oh no.
He accused Elon of being a puppet for China.
He did?
Yes.
Oh, no.
They have to somehow find a way to get together.
Let's work it out,
just,
guys.
I'm not really happy with these people.
No. Come on. There's a lot of ego there. They just need to, you know, just settle down, talk it out. It'll be fine.
And then, you know, everything is falling apart in South Korea, right?
Oh,
I mean,
boy.
We haven't even touched on that yet.
They had martial law for half a day.
They lifted martial law already, right?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, there's still a lot of, you know, power struggle
unrest,
going on there.
Chaos.
Then the Supreme Court today is taking on the arguments for trans rights cases.
Mm. Right.
And they're going to have a tough time reversing because, you know, they want to. The idea is, you know, Joe Biden has made it clear that trans rights trans individuals have the rights based on the Constitution and the law.
Yes.
And it was very recent in 2020 that the Supreme Court made a judgment on this. Neil Gorsuch, by the way, ruled that federal law prohibiting sex-based discrimination in the workplace applies to gay and transgender workers. So now this is going to also protect students in schools as well. So the argument is there, and they've already decided on it, but for some reason they're going to take a look at this case again, and maybe they'll reverse themselves, as they always have been doing.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
You want to go to the phone lines here? Dick is on the line with a call or a question for us this morning. Good morning, Dick. Go ahead.
Good morning. Well, so Otis Campbell is out, it sounds like. Why doesn't he go after Flynn? I mean, at least he's got military background, more leaning towards Russia, but, you know, it's background in the military. And then, did I hear this right this morning? This guy that, you know, thinks he has a mandate and he fell under 50% of the vote. I think I heard this morning that the House is going to be held by the Republicans by one seat.
Yes, it's looking like it's going to be one seat. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see
if we can get to the midterm.
I'd like to see them get Marjorie Taylor Greene on anything. I'd like to see her agree with anything the House does at this point. So, I mean, any one of these people can suddenly become the star and the swing vote, like Manchin and Sinema used to be for the Democrats.
Yeah. That could happen.
Yeah. So nothing will get done, in other words.
That's it. Yeah.
And they're maybe that's deadlocked. The best thing that we could hope for.
It's possible.
Under
a
Trump administration.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Who would have guessed that that could have been the saving grace that we have here? They could never agree to anything at all.
I know it. Hey, I just want to mention this portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress. Sleep better and dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress available on Madison's East or West Side or online at verlo.com. Weather today, maybe some sunshine mixed in with some clouds. We have a chance for snow midday and highs in the mid-30s. Not much snow, just a brief flurry or two.
I hope things are okay out there in Horicon. Sherry sent us a very early message.
She did.
Good morning to us.
Yeah. Okay. Always nice to hear from her.
By the way, I want you to be on notice, all right? I think I'm starting to hallucinate on coffee. So
you are right now?
I'm starting
colors?
To lose it here.
You got some traces?
So we'll do whatever you can.
How about
can.
If I wave my hand in front of your face? How's that?
I can't see that.
Okay. You can't see it at all?
All right.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's talk about Elon, because Elon is a crazy man, right? I mean, he's crazy, right? So Elon is saying that he should be getting this public salary. It would be the largest public salary in history by a company executive, and he's angry that he lost a court case, that now he can't get that $56 billion pay package. Can you imagine this?
$56 billion?
He needs a few more billion dollars, and he was trying to get a $56 billion pay package as CEO back from 2018.
He's got to get the money so he can buy Hasbro.
Yes.
Did you hear about that?
Yes, he wants to buy Hasbro because...
Why?
He wants to own D&D. He wants to own the rights to D&D.
What's D&D?
Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, the game. What could
he
do to that?
He's got his priorities.
What could he do to that?
Okay.
Yeah. He lashed out at the court ruling posting an X, never incorporate your company in the state of Delaware. The company then held a shareholder vote, by the way, and they reincorporated in Texas and officially shifted their incorporation there in June. So now they're in Texas, not Delaware. But I don't know, you know, $43 billion, give or take. What a pay package.
Yeah. He needs more money.
That's what I'm thinking.
Cash flow. It's all about cash flow.
Well, it is, but it's not. You know, he doesn't make great business decisions anyway. You know, he buys these companies. He's kind of a spokesperson for them, but he doesn't know that much about each one of those companies, and that's been the problem with Elon all along. Let's get to this from Senator Warren. Could you cue up cut six? She warns Elon wants to dismantle the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and that would be a really bad idea. So let's check it out. Let's hear it.
So since it was created by Congress just over 10 years ago, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the CFPB, has forced financial institutions to return more than $13 billion directly to people they cheated. This is government that works for the people, literally. Now, the banks don't like losing $13 billion. They don't like being forced to shut down scams. So they and their Republican friends attack the CFPB.
That's right. So we need that.
Yes, we do.
It seems really counterintuitive to get rid of something called the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
Yes.
Just seems wrong right from the
beginning.
We've
got to have that. I mean, it was,
why wouldn't we want that?
Right.
You know, a lot of people think that, you know, they just create government bureaucracy just out of the clear blue sky because they just want government to be big. It's created, it actually kind of moves along with society and things that we need, we find out that we need. That's why these departments are put in place. That's why they create them. Government got large only because we found a need to create an agency to help us move along into the future.
John, it's my right as an American to be financially independent. And if I want to get scammed, doggone it, I'm going to get scammed.
Well, that's the new attitude from Gen Z.
Okay.
Take that 40-year mortgage
for it
and walk away with it.
Right.
Happy.
Good luck with that.
I know. Good. In a little while, we're going to get to the overturning of...
Yes, Act 10.
Yeah.
Running out of time, you're going to have to get to it pretty quick here.
Well, no, we're not going to do that. I wanted to get into the thing that McConnell said recently. Mitch McConnell came out.
Yeah.
And he's angry about the unretired judges. And I thought this was just a fascinating story.
Unretired.
Maybe we'll get to that tomorrow. I think we've run out of time in this break. But yeah, he's angry about the unretired judges. Just keep in mind, in the back of your mind, I have these clips as well. But he did stop Merrick Garland from being...
The Supreme Court.
So and then of course he took that back later with Coney Barrett. So you know,
right.
I mean, we have to keep all those things in mind. I have these clips, and I want to prove to everybody that this is real. And he's out there complaining about judges now that aren't going to retire after all because Trump was elected.
Exactly. And we are going to talk about Act 10 getting overturned.
Yes,
that's coming
up.
As well as Brittany Merlot with weather right around the corner on John and Gordy in the Morning, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
What's new with the weather? What's new? What's with the temperature now? What's the high?
What's the low?
I know who knows. Brittany Merlot knows what's going on with the weather. Good morning, Brittany.
Good morning. Yeah, I sure do. We've got a crazy day ahead of us. You ready?
All right.
All ready, yeah.
I'm all set.
Tell us.
All right, hold on tight, because it's going to be crazy.
Okay.
All right. What's happening?
Now is the time. Have you ever seen the Michael Jackson Smooth Criminal video where he's like doing that lean?
Yes.
Yes.
I think you could try it maybe today with those wind gusts.
Oh my gosh, really?
That's going to be that windy?
All right.
Wow. Oh gosh. Yeah, wind advisory starts at about 2 p.m. this afternoon, and we're going to see gusts around 40 to 50 miles per hour as we go through this evening. So. Woo! It's going to drag in some cold temperatures, so highs today will be hit maybe around 11 a.m., and then we crash after that throughout the afternoon. We'll fall back down to the single digits tonight, plus the wind's still feisty. It's going to be feeling like near negative 20 by tomorrow morning.
Wow.
Wait, negative 20?
Yes.
Tomorrow morning?
That's the feel-like temperature.
Oh, man.
The wind chill.
The wind chill.
Wind chill.
We, definitely are keeping that alive. Again, we're the only station in the country still using the wind chill and feel like temperatures.
Don't know that that's true, but we'll go with it until somebody tells us differently.
Yeah, check it out, somebody.
Okay.
Sure, prove us wrong.
But this cold front, man, it's going to bring you a little bit of snow, a little bit of rain, and a little bit of snow. So right around noon, that looks to start. That's where the wintry mix will be first, and then the cold air just takes over. And, you know, it's going to be flurries through the rest of the night. No major accumulations, but about a trace is definitely possible. Half an inch would be the maximum.
Yeah.
Okay.
Won't have a chance to, you know, settle on the ground because of the wind.
Exactly.
So how are drifting. How are things shaping up for the upcoming weekend? What happens there?
Oh, we've got a nice warm-up. So after we get so cold and chilly today, don't worry. We're going to be near 50 degrees on Sunday. Near 50.
Wow. 50. Wild swings in the weather lately, huh?
Oh, yes. Crazy. But, you know, there's a price to pay. If we're going to get that warm, there's rain right behind it.
Okay. Well, thanks for the heads up.
Yeah. You know. Wow. I'd
like to plan out my weekends in advance.
Well, you can get out your
my gazebo again?
Gazebo.
Put that up again? No, I don't think so. Pain in the butt. Okay.
Sailboat today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, Brittany. Well, thank you very much. We appreciate your report,
thanks,
as always.
Thank you.
Yeah. Have a good day. Yeah, we'll talk to you tomorrow. That's Brittany Merlot, our Civic Media meteorologist.
All right. Hack 10 overturned. But did it save money? You know, Wisconsin public workers and teachers unions scored a major legal victory and a ruling that restores collective bargaining rights. You know, people now have a say at the workplace, which is fantastic. WMC President Kurt Bauer, who's in... never mind. Don't want to be negative. What? Called the law a critical tool for policymakers and elected officials to balance budgets and find taxpayer savings. We have a little clip from Channel 12 in Milwaukee. Let's play that.
Okay. All right.
This is supposed to be a hearing about state municipal debt.
No, that's not it. That's not it.
Hold it. I hold it.
That's we want cut 28.
Okay. Yep. Now we got
it. From both sides tonight, Act 10 essentially ended the ability of most public employees to bargain for wage increases and other issues and force them to pay for health insurance and retirement benefits. And the passing of Act 10 led to massive protests and legal challenges over the years.
I was there.
In November of 2023, several unions representing public employees filed a lawsuit citing a dire situation in workplaces with issues including low pay, staffing shortages, and poor working conditions. Today, Dane County Circuit Judge Jacob Frost ruled all public sector workers who lost their collective bargaining power would have it restored to what was in place prior to 2011. They would be treated the same as the police, firefighters, and other public safety unions that were exempted under the law. Former Republican Governor Scott Walker supported Act 10. He spoke with 12 News' Kendall Keyes late today.
Well, sadly for the people of Wisconsin, this is an early Christmas present from this judge for the big government union bosses. This is a brazen political activism at its worst. And the big losers are the taxpayers of Wisconsin, but even worse are the students who go to our schools and the people who use our public services, because they're going to hurt if this this court order is upheld.
No. Republican.
Okay. That's bull. All right, let's play this cut 22 right now.
Okay.
This is supposed to be a hearing about state municipal debt. I don't understand how repealing collective bargaining rights for public workers shows us anything about state debt. Let me ask you about some of the specific provisions in your proposal to strip collective bargaining rights. First, your proposal would require unions to hold annual votes to continue representing their own members. Can you please explain to me and members of this committee how much money this provision saves for your state budget?
That and a number of other provisions we put in, because if you're going to ask, if you're going to put in place a change like that, we wanted to make sure that we protected the workers of our state so that they had a right to know what kind of value they got on it. It's the same reason we gave workers the right to choose, which is a fundamental American right. And whether or not they went up to $1,000.
How much money does it save, Governor? Just
that particular part doesn't save any.
Okay.
In the same way, if you read the federal budget,
I'll answer your question. I'm reclaiming my time. It obviously had no effect whatsoever on the state budget.
It's to give the workers the right to choose.
I'll back it up. Mr. Chairman, right here from the state of Wisconsin's Legislative Fiscal Bureau, this is a nonpartisan state budget agency, much like the Congressional Budget Office. The Bureau was asked to identify provisions in the governor's bill that are non-fiscal policy items that have no state fiscal effect. This letter confirms the obvious, that Governor Walker's effort to repeal the rights of state workers is a non-fiscal policy item. No effect on the state budget shortfall.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, you can't get clearer than that. And the Republicans are going to make an argument at the Supreme Court when they, you know, appeal this thing.
Yeah.
It's they're not going to be able to make it. We've already proven this, right? In the House of Representatives, this is just ridiculous. And they keep claiming that they're saving money. They're not saving any money.
Okay.
My God. And thank you, Dennis Kucinich, for doing this job for us. Unbelievable. We need him back, boy, I tell you.
Yeah, Dennis Kucinich from Ohio, right?
Yeah, representative.
Yeah, and his daughter also got into politics for a while, I believe, yeah. But I don't know what happened to him.
I mean, it was a much longer cut,
yeah.
And just proved over and over and over again that each item in Act 10 did not save the state any money. I just got to shorten it up for
okay.
you.
Okay, thank
there you.
There
you go.
Thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Well, again, we need a reference point. Yeah.
Exactly.
You can see all those reference points at democurmudgeon.blogspot.com.
Got it. All right. Right around the corner, Mike McCabe will join us. We'll see what he's got on his mind here today.
All right.
Again, we take your calls and texts at 608-879-8255. Back with more of John and Gordy in the Morning in a few moments.
Gordy in the Morning. As we were saying.
Let the sun shine.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by Einstein's Express, where we move your package so fast that we actually break the time barrier. In fact, we guarantee that your package will arrive at its destination at least 12 hours before you send it. Einstein's Express, when it absolutely, relatively has to get there the day before yesterday.
Well, that was purposeful. Einstein's Express. I like it. All right. And by the way, that is a name that cropped up in Mike McCabe's latest Substack article.
Really?
Between Nothing and Everything. You talked a little bit about Einstein. And I want to get into that. What you're looking at basically are two sides of the aisle here, technically. Bottom line, looking at the left and right. One uses faith and the other uses facts. Tell us how you brought up Einstein in this conversation.
Well, I was telling Sam while you were off the or during the break that he asked why'd you write about Einstein, and I said, well, I just saw an Einstein quote in a newspaper editorial, and then my son wanted to see Oppenheimer. He had never seen it, and my wife and I rewatched it with him, and so that's what got me to thinking about Einstein and but with all the, you know, the mess that we've got in our world, you know, I thought, hey, why not summon the dead and try to penetrate a far greater mind than my own to make sense of what's going on in our world. And Einstein is such a fascinating character.
Such a normal individual.
And, you know,
right?
And that
balanced.
one of the things that I marvel at is here's a guy who was an intellectual giant, and, you know, cooks up the theory of relativity and figures out E=mc² and all of this stuff, but he really never got a big head. You know, all the people who knew him said that he was very self-deprecating, he was very modest, humble,
soft, very humble guy,
very soft-spoken, didn't say a whole lot. When he spoke, he had remarkable insight to share, and, you know, and he... One of the fascinating things about him is here, probably no single human being has contributed more to the advancement of human knowledge than Albert Einstein. Mm-hmm. And yet, he said, imagination is more important than knowledge. And he had that that ability to sort of look into the universe and look into the future and figure out stuff that we cannot fathom. Mm-hmm. Most of us, really are should be on our knees before Einstein. He was a giant.
Well, a lot of science fiction writers, also created a lot of.
And one of the things that fascinates me about Einstein is here's a guy who committed his whole life to scientific inquiry and the expansion of knowledge, and yet he seemed to have this really keen sense that knowledge doesn't take us all the way. There are unanswerable questions, mm-hmm. and he, the more answers he got, the more he realized there are questions I cannot answer, and that's where faith comes in. And when I use that term, I think some people think that, well, you're just trying to fill in the blanks. I think that's where, for Einstein, that's where imagination kicked in, where he had to, what he couldn't answer, he had to imagine mm-hmm. where to look, what questions even to ask. Just such a fascinating figure. And I think now we've got a party that is committed to facts and policy details and all of that. And we've got another party that just doesn't relate to facts the same way as the Democrats do. But it's a party with a significant movement behind it that is really more faith-based. And I go back to what, Karl Rove used to talk about back in the George W. Bush days. Mm-hmm. He said, you don't attack a candidate's weakness, you attack their strength.
Right, right.
But you need to understand their strengths before you can really attack those strengths. Mm-hmm. And I think Democrats have made a big mistake by not spending enough time thinking about what Donald Trump's strengths are. They sort of leap to the conclusion he's just followed by a cult and that it just sort of blindly does whatever he wants them to do. People are sort of dumbfounded by why people would put their faith in this man. Mm-hmm. And they think he's corrupt, he's a convicted felon, and people go on and on and on about all of what his failings are or what his weaknesses are. And don't give very much thought to what his strengths are.
But his weaknesses and his strengths are the exact same thing. He lies. He's the best liar I've ever seen. And that is his strength. So how do you attack lying?
But as I wrote in the column, how you would define fact and truth... Mm-hmm. One of the lines I put in there is that on that side, seeing isn't believing; believing is seeing. Mm-hmm. And they believe he's on their side. They believe that he has a vision for America that includes them, mm-hmm. and they feel excluded by the other side's vision of America. And so they are drawn to him like a magnet, and they will look past all the other stuff that Democrats are hung up on.
Yeah.
All of the things that we're outraged by on the left, they look past it all because they sense this guy has a vision for America that includes me and the other side doesn't. That creates a deep commitment on their part to him. And people on the Democratic side can't relate to that, can't fathom it. And that, I think, is a great mistake by mm-hmm. people on the Democratic side to not really think about why they believe that he has a vision for America that includes them and the other side doesn't. And that brings me back to what Karl Rove always used to say, and he was the mastermind behind George W. Bush and all of his campaigns. You don't attack a candidate's weakness, you attack their strength. Remember what he did to John Kerry?
Yeah.
A decorated war veteran, and he went after him and painted him as soft on the military and
a deserter
and basically a deserter.
Yeah.
And here was a decorated war veteran.
Absolutely.
And he figured that's that guy's strength. We're going to take that strength away from him. And I don't see that on the left with Trump. Nobody's thinking. They just sort of explain away his strengths, and they sort of say, well, it's just imaginary, or it's there's nothing really to it, and it's just this cult following that he has, and they blame it on the voters. But there is something there that draws people to Trump and makes them loyal. And so I think the question on the left is not what the hell is wrong with the voters, but what the hell is wrong with us that we can't beat Donald Trump? If he's as flawed as we say he is, if he's as horrible as we say he is, why has he been elected president for the second time?
Good question. Now, do you think one of his strengths is just this charisma? I mean, when he's on stage, you can't take your eyes off of him. Whether you love him or hate him, you know, he commands that spotlight. And is there something about just this charisma that people, they can't turn away from it?
That's undoubtedly true, Gordy. But I guess here's where Einstein, what Einstein would say is, but why?
Yeah.
Why can't people turn away? Mm-hmm. Why are people drawn to him like a magnet? And I don't have the answer to that question, but what troubles me is that people don't even seek to explore that. Mm. They don't even really sit back and let's really try to think. Let's suspend all of our preconceived notions or all our beliefs about how horrible Donald Trump is. And really think about what is it that makes people respond to him the way they do. And I think that's what Einstein would say to us, is you don't have the answer to that question, but you have to ask why. And you have to ask it earnestly. And you have to really explore that. Or, one of the things I wrote about is, you know, in that piece and Substack, is that we kind of have, you know, we have, team fact and team faith.
Yeah.
And I think when people say, well, he's lying, so he's not being factual.
That's me.
That's the end of the story then for them. It's he should be rejected simply because he's not telling the truth.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of people who are voting for him are saying, yeah, I understand he's lying.
Yeah, they don't care.
And they don't care that he's lying because they get it. They understand that he's lying. And I've talked to so many Trump voters who say, he's not really going to do that.
Right.
I don't take that seriously. Yeah, he says that, but he says a lot of things. And I don't really take it seriously. And yet, they feel very strongly that he should be their president. Mm-hmm. And I think the people on the left need to take that seriously and really put their minds to trying to figure out why. But that requires people to say, okay, what does Trump really have going for him? And that's something that people on the left have a real hard time doing because they don't want to give him any credit for any positive attribute.
Right. And
that's dangerous.
My theory has always been that he ran for 4 years. And in advertising, if you can describe your opponent and identify them and give people that impression of what you think that person is, you define who your opponent is first, they win. They get it. And he had 4 years to define his opponent and attack their strengths because the opponent, the Biden administration, Bidenomics, actually helped the administration, and it helped the country, and it helped everybody out in this country, whether, you know, you were affected directly or indirectly. It helped everybody, and he attacked all of that.
And from the grave, Albert Einstein would say to you, John,
What would he say?
You don't know that. It's a theory. And you have to, one of the great lines that Albert Einstein had is he says, if you really think we know what we're doing as scientists, then why do we call it research? We search, and then we research because we don't have the answers. I think there needs to be enough humility to say, we don't know. We simply don't know why this guy has such a spell on the American people. And we need to seriously research that.
Talking with Substack blogger Mike McCabe here. We're going to continue. We're getting a bunch of texts in here right now. Let me hit one or two of these.
Yeah.
According to the U.S. Department, this is from 1701. According to the U.S. Department of Education, 54% of Americans can't read or write prose beyond a sixth grade level. And you wonder why people don't try to look into whether something is factual or not.
Tom and Jackson said, Trump, face it, people are racist. He allows people to embrace that.
Mm-hmm. And we got another text that says, how do you get through to people who've been brainwashed into thinking Democrats are evil, especially when these are an entire information
ecosystem that make billions pushing that propaganda. Yeah. So
lots of text coming in. You
that's
can text
very
us.
Good. Good input.
608-879-8255 or jump on the Civic Media app. We can ponder those questions, I guess, all day long.
And now think.
Do we have answers?
If there is a Trump voter out in the audience listening, and here's those texts right over the air, and they're saying, I'm not brainwashed.
Yeah,
right.
And I'm not stupid. They think I'm stupid, and that probably makes me resent them a little bit more.
And they think I'm a racist.
And they think I'm a racist.
I resent that.
And that makes me resent them a little bit more.
Right.
And then we're surprised that they decide to vote against the people who feel that way about them.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Something to ponder.
Yep. We will be back with more.
We will continue this conversation.
With Mike McCabe in just a moment. 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress. Sleep better and dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress available on Madison's East or West Side or online at verlo.com. Talking with Mike McCabe. Got a couple of more texts here during the break. This one from Doug, our Milwaukee correspondent. He says, from the grave, Albert Einstein said, Trump's strength has been...
And is
misinformation. I don't know. Doug is channeling Albert Einstein from the grave.
I like what Gary said.
Yeah, what did he say?
People are shallow and lazy, so they'll fall for someone just like them.
Okay.
All right, there you go. See another negative, and people say, that's not me.
We thank you for those texts. Keep them coming. Got one more here. Mike, my women friends and I can't stand looking at or listening to this...
Anal-faced, spray-tanned criminal. Sorry. All we see is a predator and a rapist. Not sure where you're getting the awesomeness of this creep.
Hmm.
All right. Well.
Oh, I'm not.
You're not promoting.
I don't believe he's awesome.
Yeah.
And I don't. I don't.
Yeah.
But I do acknowledge that he won more votes.
Yes.
He won more states, and that he got elected president of the United States. And you know, there's been this article of faith on the left for a long time that voters who would vote for somebody like Donald Trump or who vote Republican in general are voting against their own interests.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard that a lot for years. About people in rural areas, and I come from farm country. I grew up on a farm, and people have asked me so many times, I've lost count. you know, why do rural voters vote against their own interests? And my answer has always been the same. They're not voting against their own interests. They're voting for their interests as they define their interests, not as you define their interests.
Exactly.
You've decided what their interests are, and you're thinking they're voting against those interests. But you don't get to define their interests for them. They get to decide what is in their interest, and that's what they are voting for. And I think we need to give careful thought to what. How do they define their interests? How do they think this country should be run? And then make them a better offer. But if we just jump to the conclusion that, well, they don't even understand their own interests because they aren't listening to us about what their interests are, and they're voting against what we think their interests are. To me, that's a huge mistake. We've got to seriously think, what are they motivated by?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Catherine's in the studio with us. Good morning, Catherine. Come on in here.
I listen every Wednesday with great anticipation how Mike's going to make us feel better about
making
everything.
Us feel bad
and,
right now.
And now I've just
no,
pissed you all off.
No, he's making you feel bad. And I heard that on the way in. I'm like, oh, he's telling John he's not getting it right. And yeah. And it's real.
Oh, I wasn't writing it
to
John.
I know you weren't.
This was not a love letter to John.
I hear you. A Dear John letter. What occurred to me, because I'm trying to understand what you're saying, Mike, and I agree, one of my, if you asked me, Catherine, what is your most hated thing that happens to me? What do I hate more than anything else when someone does to me? And it is talk down to me. Falsely accuse me.
Yep.
Those two things. You know, my dad talked down to me a lot. I got daddy issues or whatever. And I just grew up thinking, you are never going to talk down to me.
Right.
I'm not more smart than you are, but I don't, and therefore, you're not smarter than me. So don't talk down. So I think that's what, at the essence, Donald Trump never spoke down to anybody. He couldn't. Couldn't. He has no position to. So... That's the ultimate thing. I think about Harris at the rally I went to over at the Alliance Center, and everyone was so happy, but she wasn't talking down to us, but she was talking down to the people who aren't going to vote for her.
Well, yeah, Trump does talk down to a lot of people, the people he's not interested in.
Yeah.
And, of course, that makes us angry as well, just as it is the opposite way. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. You know, I don't know if you heard my story about my Christmas get-together, but my brothers voted for Trump.
Oh, Thanksgiving get-together.
Yeah. Right. Well, it was a Christmas.
Oh, right. Yeah. You mentioned that.
And they said, well, wait and see. You don't know what he's going to do.
Right.
You know, so if he does something good, we'll wait and see. And that was their point of view on that. And no matter what kind of example I could give, no matter how many people I could say, this person you're going to trust in that position, they didn't care. They absolutely didn't. They just said, wait and see what happens. And the last time, remember, when Trump was in power, a lot of people in the administration prevented him from doing all the bad things he wants to do. That's not going to be the case this time. And not only that, but then all of us now, everybody is going to be affected by what Trump does in this country. You know, these guys might have a lot of faith in him and think that he's not going to do all the things he says he's going to do. But you know what? We're all going to be affected by what he does. And they're going to take us down with them if everything goes down.
Yeah, you know, and I'm as troubled by what these next 4 years could bring as anybody. But, you know, Catherine probably summed up, you know, my article. She said it better than I did. Because when you really boil it down to its essence, right, the subliminal message from Democrats or from the left has been these people are stupid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They just don't see. And they don't know what the hell they're doing, and they're stupidly voting for this. Mm-hmm. And that alone could make a whole bunch of people say, well, if that's what you think of me, I'm not on your side.
Mike, we have to leave it there.
Thanks
Mike
for
McCabe.
Bringing us down, Mike.
Mike will be at Boswell Books in Milwaukee tonight. What time?
6:30.
So check it out. He's going to be there signing books. His Miracle Along County Q, an excellent book, a great gift idea for the holidays. Mike, thanks again. We'll see you next Wednesday. Tomorrow we'll be talking with Busted Pencils. Tim Slecker will be here with us.
See what's coming up in education.
All right. That's it for us. Stephanie Miller's next. Have a great day.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.